right, Bud? Well, it's good to be here. I know we came up to see Miss Katie and Brother Tim. I don't know Brother Tim, but to the wedding. And praise the Lord. I'm glad that it was done right. Amen. And a lot of people today, they just ain't, they ain't even getting married. People say divorce is down. I tell you why divorce is down. Nobody's getting married. Yeah. Amen. They just living together. But it was a good, I know it was bittersweet for the family and the church. And I've got two weddings coming up in my church this year. One's my son, my older son's getting married in December. And then I got a young lady in our church that's been waiting for a long time, and God sent her a man. And I just flat out told him, I said, y'all ain't going nowhere. You ain't going nowhere. I don't care where you live. You move here. I believe this about my church. I believe everybody ought to be in my church. I mean, if you move to Alabama, you should be in my church. You say you're probably, I'm not telling you to move to Alabama, but if you move to Alabama, you ought to be in our church. If I had a family moving up here, I'd say the best church there is Brother Carpenter's. So get in that church. So now, thank you for those that come to our youth revival. Brother Carpenter came up and preached for us and did some really good preaching. And appreciate him and his friendship. And we look forward to getting to be around you folk. And I just so glad that I was thinking yesterday how God, when I got saved, I mean, these people, I know Brother Mathis and Brother Coley and Brother Carpenter and Brother Billy Boone wasn't here yesterday, but all these people, when I got saved, but one of the things the devil was telling me is if you get saved, you'll lose all your friends. And, you know, and that was true. I lost all my lost friends. And it's not because I told them that they had to go when they found out I was truly saved.
Yeah.
That just run them off,
yeah.
Amen?
Yep.
And I had a friend call me right after I got saved, and he said, you ain't going to believe what we got. I said, what we get? He said, we got tickets to the Talladega races. And if we're going. I said, we ain't going. He said, I know you got to talk to Mama, talking about my wife. I said, that ain't got nothing to do with my wife. I said, the race is on Sunday. And I got saved, and I got to be in church on Sunday. And he said, you've done lost your mind. You know, that's been over 23 years ago. And I ain't heard from him since. What are you saying, preacher? God gave me a whole new set of friends that don't ask me to do stuff immoral. Don't ask me to miss church. And so, the only person I know saved in this building is me today. And I don't want to hurt your feelings. You might have the outward appearance, but I don't know your heart. But I know I'm saved. I know I'm born again. And when God saved me, and I just celebrated my spiritual birthday in February, Monday, February 11th. I've been saved 23 years. And I remember the day that I got saved. I can tell you everything about that day. And that night, Brother Tim Ellis was preaching our mission revival last week. And that night, his grandson got saved on February 11th in the same side of the altar that I got saved. And I said, well, son, that's a good saving place right there. And he got saved, right, literally almost where I got saved in our church. I want you to take your Bibles and go to Romans. I've been teaching in our church the book that y'all have out there, Money's a Defense. And I don't think I'm doing a good job, because I can see my two boys are taking a class and I still have access to their checking account. They ain't listening to anything I say. They're not on defense. They're on offense right now. I mean, they're on the 2-minute offense, son. They're spending money every 2 minutes. Amen. But anyway, I'm trying. Listen, when I got saved, I didn't know nothing about money control and all that. And if your pastor's teaching you that, you need to listen. And we could all say in here that if you got a little age on you, you know, we all struggle with money. If you're like me, you can look at my checkbook and it says Dollar General, Dollar General, Dollar General, Dollar General, Dollar General, Tide, Dollar General, Dollar General, Walmart, Chick-fil-A, Chick-fil-A, Chick-fil-A. But I want to try to maybe help you this morning. And I want you to look in Romans chapter number 1. And most of us know the context of Romans chapter number 1. And it to me, it's a sad chapter in the book of the Bible, because it shows you people that wanted to go their way.
Yeah.
And just as Brother Ronnie Wayne was reading out of Numbers chapter 11, people just they're never satisfied.
Yeah.
And man will never be satisfied. Everything man's ever touched, he's corrupted.
Yep.
Man, you think you're a pretty good Joe, but I'm telling you, everything we touch, we corrupt. And Romans chapter 1, look at verse number 16. The Bible says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and the righteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse." And I want to just stop right there and say, I hear this all the time. What about those people in Africa that's going to die and go to hell? And they ain't never heard the name of God. It just says His Godhead has been revealed. That's why it's important as a church and a local assembly. We just come out of mission revival. It is our responsibility to get the gospel into the regions beyond. And they're without excuse. And people say, well, He's not a just God. He's revealed those things. I'm sorry, but these people say, I don't believe there's a God. Well, how in the world can you look at a baby that's being born in the world and not think that there's not a God?
Yeah.
How can you look at creation and say there's not a God?
Yeah.
We just didn't get slung here, amen? People ask me all the time, well, what do you think about evolution? I think you got to be dumb to believe in evolution.
Yeah.
Amen? It takes more faith to believe in that than it does in the beginning God.
Yeah.
And today, people don't want to, they shove that down our kids' throats, amen. There's just always they're wanting to say that there ain't no God. The freedom from religion. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That group out of Wisconsin. They spend all this money, millions of money, to prove something. They say, well, there ain't no God. Well, why are you spending all the money then?
Yeah.
Well, if it ain't no God, why are you spending all that money? But I want you to look at verse 21, because that when they knew God, now, folks, we're talking about people that knew God. They glorified Him not as God. Now, look at the first word, the first sin. Neither were thankful. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like the corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, there's a couple of words in there I want to focus on this morning for Sunday school. And the word is change. Change. You know, we had a former president. His platform was hope and change. I was thinking about this last night, Brother Carpenter. Things that's changed us. And I mean changed mankind. And I thought about mainly in this generation. You know what's changed us more than anything is machines. Has changed us. I mean, right now, there's a machine pointing at me, and this broadcast right here, I don't know where it's going, but it could go all over the world. Now, years ago, that was unheard of. We, as a smaller church, there's no way we could get the gospel without spending money. We could not get the gospel out like that. But now we have it here in front of us. And I don't have my phone, but my wife's got it. But now we have the ability that we can be almost anywhere in the world and call people or text people or message people. Amen. Don't tell me that machines have not changed us.
Yeah.
And I know every time you start preaching on the electronic world, it gets a little tight in the church. And I'm not saying that's between you and your pastor. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. Lately, I've noticed this in my church, that our kids are coming into the church and we're trying to get in the spirit of worship, and they're on the pews and they're playing games. And I'm thinking in my mind, I'm thinking, why are they playing games? Why are we not teaching our children that this is the house of God? And we need to come into the house of God and get an attitude of worship. I don't know what y'all call it here, but at our church we call it the worship service. And we come in and we're not prepared to worship. And I know one thing about worship. Every time you find worship in the Bible, it's connected to sacrifice. And so machines have changed us. I tell you what else has changed us. Money's changed us. Well, some of you, we ain't going to be able to fellowship with. You know why? You're going to get your tax return. Bless God. You ain't going to talk to me. I'll buy you. I will buy you. Go ahead and try it. I'll buy you. The IRS says I can buy you. Amen. We notice it at church, man. There's some people you can't even fellowship with. I mean, they roll in. They got new shotguns. They got new rod and reels. They got new iPads. Amen. And the church is crumbling. Amen. I'm not preaching on tithing. I'm preaching on how money can change somebody.
Amen.
We get these guys. They start working. They get a good job, and next thing you know, they don't think they got to come to Sunday school. Money changes people. Amen. And people say, well, it don't change people. Yeah, it does. It changes people. Some of the most miserable people in the world's got money. Amen. You think about all these suicides. Amen. All these Hollywood stars. Amen. They got money. But it changes people. I was taught, don't forget your raises.
Yeah, yes, sir. Yep.
Amen. I don't have a lot of money. Amen. The IRS makes sure I don't have a lot of money. I'm self-employed, and they hit self-employment hard. Amen. Somebody give me a Presbyterian nod right there. You're self-employed, you find out real quick the IRS ain't cutting you no break. But money changes people. Y'all know that? So you got machines change people. Money changes people. I tell you something else that changes people. Movements. Movements. Movements change people. What are you talking about? Somebody come up with a hashtag something and then we all on board. Hashtag high demand. I'm on board. Hashtag this and hashtag that. Amen. Next thing you know, you're marching for something you don't even believe in. We had a family. They're no longer at our church, so I don't care if it's going on across the internet or not. But they got involved in this political. They got behind a candidate, and they were spending more time with the candidate than they were at the church. And they started doing all that. They were putting signs up all over the place, and they were going to rallies. And I'm thinking it's time to go soul winning, and you can't find them. But see, they got changed by movement. A movement changed them. And I'm not saying all movements are bad. Man, that ain't what I'm saying, but you know, we're in a day and age that somebody can just make an accusation, and I know this is going out, so I'll step lightly. They'll make an accusation and you're guilty until proven innocent because of some movement. And so movements change people. Money changes people. Machines change people. But I tell you who changes people more than anything is men change people. Men changes people. And sometimes I'll say this, change is good. Change is good. At our church, 3 years ago, we went through change. And I'm going to tell you, the older people had more, they had a hard time. I mean, all they've known for 30 years, brother, is Brother Charlie standing in the pulpit saying, you're wicked as hell. You're going to die and go to hell, boy. Amen. You're going to split hell right up. That's all they knew. And Brother Charlie's I'm not Brother Charlie.
Yeah, right.
And I told the church, listen, I ain't wearing cowboy boots. Now, I ain't preaching you wear them. Praise God, wear them. Amen. I can't wear them.
Yeah.
I like my wingtips. Amen. You ain't going to see Brother Charlie in wingtips. But you probably ain't going to never see me in boots. Amen. That's right. But it's a good thing. You know, you would go into Brother Charlie's office, you wouldn't see a computer. You go in my office today, you see a computer. We had change. And I told the church, I'm not Brother Charlie. God didn't make me Brother Charlie. But Brother Charlie laid some foundation that we ain't changing.
That's right.
Amen. We ain't changing the old time way.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm 50 years old, just turned 50 in July. I'll be 51 in July, this coming July. But I'm telling you something. I know the old time way still works.
Yeah.
I know preaching still works.
Yeah.
Amen. I know the old time hymns still work. So we went through change in our church, and I'm going to be honest with you, people struggle with it.
Yeah, right.
And it's like we did something different at our youth rally this year. Normally, this is what we do at our youth rally. We have hot dogs on Friday and pizza on Saturday. And I said, my wife said, well, let's try something new. Let's change something. So we went to taco salad on Saturday. And, of course, I'm sure it ruffled some feathers at the church. But, my goodness, it's taco salad. We didn't say we're going to put a big screen and have a clown come in. It's taco salad. But people don't like change. But then some people do. In 2 Timothy, and I'm getting to where I'm going here. I know when I need to stop, so y'all don't worry about that. Amen. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the preacher preached it, something along the lines, in the last days, we know we're in the last days. How long the last days are, I don't know. But this is what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. You just hold your place there, and then we'll start getting into the lesson. This know also, in the last days, perilous times shall come.
Yeah.
And the first thing he lists is, for men shall be lovers of their own self. You know what it's all about? You know what Romans chapter 1's all about? Me.
Yeah, amen.
What I want.
Amen.
Yeah.
What I want to do. I don't like that, so I'm going to change it. In verse 2, men shall be lovers of their own self. This generation has fallen in love with itself.
Yeah.
How do you know that? Just go on Instagram.
Yeah.
When Facebook first came out, it was driving me nuts. I knew this kid over in Mississippi. And everything he done, he documented. And I remember somebody saying, well, look what he put on Facebook. And he says, I'm sick. Okay, well, we'll pray for you, brother. 10 minutes later, in the car going to the doctor. 30 minutes later, in the waiting room. An hour and a half later, amen. Finally made it into the doctor, to see the doctor. And then about 15 minutes later, ouch, I got a shot. Now, why do I need to know all that? You know what it is? People want to know. They want you to know everything about them. I don't want to know everything about you.
Amen.
It's just better that we don't know some things about each other. It's like somebody say, well, tell me your full testimony. You don't want to know my full testimony, and I don't want to know yours. Why? Because we probably wouldn't fellowship no more. You used to do what? You wouldn't probably listen to me if you knew my full testimony. It ain't about me, it's about Him. If you're having a bad hair day, just change your hair. Of course, I never have a bad hair day. Amen, brother. Amen, Brother Green. Amen. That man don't have no bad. Hey, you don't like the color of it? Change it. You know what's going on? Well, I don't like what gender I am. So I just change. Hello?
Yeah.
Is that all right to say on Facebook?
Yeah.
How about this one? If your spouse ain't pleasing to you, just change spouses. Well, she's gained weight. Well, you have three babies and see how much weight you lose. Brother Charlie used to say, all these boys want these Coke bottle figures for girls. He said, when they have about three babies, they'll have a 3-liter. Now, they don't even sell 3-liters no more. Wow, we had to change something, man. But you know what? It amazes me how people won't work through problems. You know, when this man yesterday, and I don't mean to, when he gave that hand to Brother Tim, and he gave that authority to Brother Tim, and I can't remember if he said this, in sickness and health,
yeah.
In death, do we part? Where are these things? Why,
yeah.
You know, because we just change things. Well, we can't go through hard times. Listen, marriage is hard.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're saved and born again, marriage is hard. I know y'all live in a different realm of Christianity than we do in Alabama, but marriage is hard. Raising children is hard. And you know what we do? And we just look for a quick change. Well, listen, this one don't work out. Hey, buddy, when you got about five, been married five times, do you not think something, it could be you? I mean, I know a person, and I'm not going to call their name, but they got so many exes, you can't play tic-tac-toe with them. But you know what? Sooner or later, you got to figure out something's wrong with me. Change. If the boss ruffles your feather, you change jobs. They ain't going to talk to me like that. Well, let me ask you, but they ain't giving me enough money. Well, $8 is better than no dollars. Have y'all figured that out?
Amen.
Then they say this, I'll just join the military. Nobody will tell me what to do. I'll just change careers. You get 50, you ain't I ain't changing nothing. I mean, nobody would hire me right now. I'm unhireable. I mean, I don't even think Domino's would hire me. They see me coming limping in. Oh, we don't want that old guy here. How about this? If the preacher makes you mad, you change churches. Ain't going to talk to me that way. I can say that I have all the confidence to say this about Brother Carpenter. I don't think he would stand here and deliberately try to hurt anybody. And I feel the same way. One of the things I've been praying that God will give me is a lot of compassion. And there is no way that a preacher that loves his congregation would stand here and deliberately try to call you out. I mean, we've been accused, and I've been accused of having songs played to ruffle people's feathers. Thinking, man, I can barely get people to sing special. Why am I going to hire somebody to come in there and tick somebody off? We had a president run on change. That's what Obama run on change. You know who put President Obama in? A generation, a young generation that wanted change.
Yeah.
I want you to look here with me in Romans chapter 1, and I'm going to show you what they wanted to change.
Yep.
Number one, the Bible says this, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which they may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even the eternal power in Godhead, so they are without excuse, because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful." And then it says this, "because it became vain in their imagination, and their foolish hearts were darkened, professing themselves to become wise, they became fools." You know the first thing they did? They changed their wants. And I'm telling you, I've seen this in our own movement, whatever you want to call it, our own camps. I've seen how independent Baptist churches have changed their wants.
Yeah.
We don't want that no more, preacher.
Yeah.
We don't need that fire and brimstone type of preacher. We need this love preaching.
Yeah.
And listen, friend, I will preach love because God is love.
Right. Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you, when you stand in this pulpit, and anybody that stands in the pulpit across America, they will give an account for what they say and what they... I'm sorry, I'm supposed to be teaching. Let me lower my voice. Let me lower my voice. I don't want Brother Charlie to critique me on Facebook. But you know what we've done? I'm talking about not necessarily this church. They've changed their wants. We don't want that music no more. We don't want the old time way no more. Listen, as long as you preach the King James Bible and that man preaches the way he preaches, you won't fill this building up.
Come on.
You're not going to fill it up. I'm not going to fill it up with the way I preach. I understand that. But you know what? At the end of the day, I want to be able to lay my head on that pillow and know that I did what God told me to do. And I've seen over the years, and I've been in this thing over 20-something years, I've seen these churches begin to change their wants.
Yeah.
We don't want an old man of God.
Yeah.
We don't want that kind of preaching.
Yeah.
We don't want that kind of that kind of attitude in our church. We want to draw the young people. I tell you what draws the young people. Jesus does.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, amen.
You know why? Because Jesus told them people, suffer not the little children to come unto me. They were coming to Jesus. You know what? Young people want Jesus. I tell you what young people don't want. They don't want the Christianity that we show out in the world. I mean, we're one way at the church and then we're cussing everybody out in the world. We're shady out in the world. We're doing people wrong out in the world. And then we wonder why people don't want to come to our church. Oh, you go to Glory Land or you go to Hope. Well, no, I'm telling you, we need to say this, and I made it plain and clear when I took over. We are not starting a new book at our church. We're just starting a new chapter. It's the same story.
Amen.
Amen. You know, it'd be so disrespectful for me to stand up with my former pastor sitting in our church and to take out our hymn books.
Yeah, right.
And to take out our pews. But you know what the people are wanting to do today? They're wanting change. They're changing their wants. And you know what they said? When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. You know what they say? We don't want God no more.
Yeah, amen.
I'm telling you something. I'd rather have five that wanted God than 500 that didn't want a God.
Yeah,
I want to be in a church where the Spirit of God is. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. They're not knocking down our doors the old-fashioned way, but that don't mean I'm going to change what God's told me to do. And I know you people here, you love your pastor and you love the church. You sitting here on Sunday morning, you wouldn't be here if you didn't love the church. I'm telling you right now, the people show up for Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, those are people that love the church. They love what's going on here at the church. But when you begin to change your wants, boy, you're getting in trouble with God.
Yeah, amen.
You know what? The first thing they said, because when they knew God, they glorified and not God, as neither were thankful. Aren't you just thankful for what you got?
Yeah.
I mean, y'all redone your sanctuary. It looks nice in here. Boy, I was trying to, in my mind yesterday, trying to figure out how this thing was set up. And it's been so long since the first time I come, I don't know how it was set up. But I look around here and what a beautiful building God's given you.
Amen.
Amen. But people, when they start wanting to change their wants, they want a different preacher.
Yeah.
I mean, you're too hard. You're too hard. I've had people accuse me of walking around too much. I mean, right now, I'm stable right now because I got a tore calf muscle. I'm stable right now. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. Don't change your wants if it's in a bad way.
Amen.
When they knew God, they glorified God, and they neither were thankful. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 5 said this, and he said, behold, thou art old. They're talking about Samuel.
Yeah.
I mean, Samuel was a man of God. He was walking. I mean, Samuel coming in, he rescued the priesthood. Eli would not deal with his boys. We were having a conversation about that. And God raised up Samuel. Do you realize that Samuel got put in the same household with Phinehas and Hophni? He was raised by the same corrupt priest. And Hannah had faith enough to put him there as for such a time as this. And Samuel rescued Israel.
Yes, sir.
You know what the people said? Is what they said. And they said unto him, but that behold, thou art old. And thy sons walk not in thy way. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. You know what they say? We won't be like everybody else.
Yeah, amen.
We done changed our want. We appreciate you rescuing Israel, but we don't want that no more.
Yeah.
We appreciate you riding the ship and getting the Spirit of God back here. We appreciate that, Samuel, but we want to do something different.
Yeah.
And you know, if I've got a message that I preach out there, when God's not enough, and you know what happens? God said, I tell you what, I'm going to give you what you want.
Yep.
And they're going to take your sons and they're going to take your daughters.
Yes,
the kings are going to do that. They're going to take your sons and they're going to be, you're going to be a slave to them. And he said, when the enemy comes in, you just go to your king. Now, who would you rather have?
Yep.
I'd rather have God.
Amen.
So, number one, they changed their wants. Verse 23 of Romans 1:23 says, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God in the image made like a corruptible man to the birds and the four-footed beasts and the creeping things. When you change your wants, then you'll change your ways.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, amen.
Let me read some verses. You don't have to turn there. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Matthew 7:13 says, enter at the straight gate. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be go thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few there may find it. Excuse me. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for yourself. But they said, we will not walk therein. See, when your walks change, your ways will change. Well, I don't understand why I got to dress like that. Is that hard to say? That might be pastoral. I don't understand why it's important to look the part out in the community. It is. It's important to look the part out in the community. And I, listen, whatever you do at this church is the pastor's business at your home. But I try to tell my church, it's important the way you act and represent yourself in the community. Don't go in the restaurant and cuss the waiter out and then leave her a track with Glory Land Baptist Church on it. And don't leave her no track if you ain't going to put no tip with it. And I'm talking about a good tip. I mean, if you do, leave somebody else's track like Hillview Baptist or somebody like that. Psalms 1:6, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Proverbs 4:19, the way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not what they stumble. Proverbs 12:15, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you, I've seen churches change their wants. When they change their wants, they change their ways. We ain't doing it that way no more. We're done. I'm done. I ain't doing it that way. I where's this preacher get? I got to come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I can get God at home.
Yeah.
I've had them tell me that. I don't need church. I had a family leave. And you know what they said? We don't need to come to church to get a hold of God.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
Well, you know what? God set up a system.
Yeah, amen.
And I come to church, and when I come to church, I get encouraged. When I get to, let me tell you this, I ain't never broke out running in the car. Now, I've got excited in the car listening to some good preaching. But I tell you, I've seen God moving the church. But we just don't see it that way, preacher. We don't see why you got to do it this way and why you got to be so stern on them things. Why can't we just lax that a little bit? Why don't we have to have those standards? People say we get accused all the time of being legalist. I'd rather be a legalist than an illegalist.
Yeah.
And first of all, people don't even know where the legalist is.
Yeah.
They say if you have a dress standard, you're a legalist. No, that ain't a legalist. Legalist is somebody that puts stipulations on you doing something to keep your salvation.
Yeah.
Man, you can dress like a harlot and be saved.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Amen? I'm just saying that when you change your wants, you'll change your ways.
Yeah.
It's a progression. Let me get down here real quick so I can finish up. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 25. So they changed their wants, they changed their ways. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, they'll change the Word of God.
Yep.
They'll change the Word.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you something. I've got a few new people coming to my church, and I'm going to have to set them down and explain to them why we use the King James Bible. Amen? Why we do these things. When I first got saved, brother, I can remember my pastor saying, AB 1611. I didn't know what the AB 1611 was.
Yeah.
Amen? I didn't know nothing about God, except I didn't want to be around Him. I can remember shaking my fist at God around 21 years old and telling Him to leave me alone. I thank God He didn't answer that prayer. Amen. But I'll tell you this, when I got saved and born again, we came into our church and God began to work on my life. My wife was saved and Brother Charlie was getting up saying AB 1611. What's AB 1611? So one Sunday, I just had enough. I said, preacher, what's AB 1611? He began to tell me what the AB 1611 was. And he wanted us to know that there wasn't no other verse.
Right.
And my wife, I love her to death. We're ignorant. We were ignorant folk. That's not dumb, by the way. We're unlearned.
Right.
And so my wife, after we got in the church, she went out to the bookstore. She got me a new King James with my name imprinted on it. This ain't it today, by the way. We didn't know no better.
Yeah.
But you know what? I can remember. I said, after I got saved, listen, I don't know about this King James Bible. I said, Lord, if it's the truth, I want to know it's the truth.
Yeah.
I don't want the preacher to stand up and tell me it's the truth. I want to know. I want you to tell. So I can remember, I was working at the time, and I was going down. Back then, all you had was FM and AM. Y'all, now they got XM radio and all that. And I was going down to Pensacola. I knew I was going to not pick nothing up. There's a dead spot. All you get is AM radio. And some guy walked up to me and said, I heard you going out of town. I said, yes, sir. He gave me a sack of tapes in a brown paper bag. Thinking, man, what's this guy trying to sell? He's probably trying to get me in the Amway. Y'all, some of y'all older people know that. They bring a sack of tapes over to your house and label them, amen. And I said, man, I ain't gonna listen to this stuff. I didn't know what was in there, so I got bored. And I said, well, might as well listen to one of these motivational speakers on the way down there. I put it in. It was a lady defending the King James Bible. And the Lord said, how much more I have to tell you, dummy? And that night, or that day, I listened to all them tapes. I got back and I said, well, God showed me that this is the right Bible. But you know what people will say all the time? When I was a chaplain at Chalkville, when y'all used to support our ministry, we would only give out King James Bibles. And this is what the girls would tell me. Preacher, I can't understand that Bible. I can't understand the King James Bible. My pat answer was, well, how much is for all the sin to come short of glory? How come you don't understand that? And for whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How come you don't understand that? Well, I had an 80-something-year-old lady at the time bringing me King James Bibles. And the person that brought her was a crippled man named Luther. And he'd crutch in there with them crutches and dragging his leg, brother. I'm talking about they were driving an hour and a half one way to get here. And I can't even get people out of my own church to go down there at the time.
Yeah.
And here they come in. Boy, you're talking about conviction. Some old lady coming in there and some crippled man bringing her. I'm thinking, God, Lord, he's preaching at me. Amen. And she would show up once a month to bring these stacks of Bibles. And you know how she got the money to do it? She'd go door to door asking people to give her money to buy King James Bibles. I can't do nothing. This 80-year-old lady got out in the neighborhood and got money to buy King James Bibles. So she got in there and she come and she, I heard them giving Miss Polly down the road. She said, here, honey, I got you a Bible here. She said, oh, can I not get an NIV teen study Bible, Miss Polly? She said, no, honey, just put your name right there in front. Just put your name right there in front, honey. It'll be all right. And she's just so sweet. You know, he's like a grandma, you know. And she just said, oh, just put your name in the Bible, honey. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. God will give you, God will show you understanding. God will show you understanding. She go to the next person. Oh, put your name in the, oh, I know you can't understand. Just put your name in the, I mean, she's just so sweet. You couldn't get mad at her. She come back the next week. And I'm thinking, what's she doing back? She said, oh, preacher, I got you more Bibles. I said, well, praise the Lord. She said, can you help Brother Luther? He's out there and he's going to get them out of the trunk. And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, grab that sack of dictionaries too. I said, what do we need dictionaries for, Miss Paul? But she said, when they say they can't understand it, I'll tell them to look up the word. You know what? You weren't changing on what she believed. And it was so funny. She said, look it up. She had my dictionary. Man, I don't know what happened that late. She's probably gone to glory now. But I tell you, she was a blessing. The change your want, change your ways, change the word. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 25, and we'll close with this. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. When you change your wants and you change your ways and you change the word, you'll change your worship.
Right.
That's what you're going to do. And there was evidently revivals broke down at this church down here.
Yeah.
I got news for you. I heard the police cars going last night. The true revival will get the thugs off the street. Why, it got quiet in here. But that Brownsville revival, y'all remember that down in Pensacola? I had a preacher friend that lived down there, and he said, I'm going to go and check that out. And I said, all right, go down there and check that out and let me know what it's all about. He called me. He said, I'll tell you what it reminded me of. He said, you know when Moses came off the the mountain with the Ten Commandments, and he said there was noise of war in the camp. He said that's what it reminded me of. You know what it is? You can change your wants and your ways and your word. And by the way, I hope I didn't offend somebody, but and I hope people's getting saved down there. I hope they are. But I had these people in our community say revivals broke out. There's still prostitution. There's still dope getting sold on the corner. There's still daddies going to the bars. There's still mamas getting beat up. So you tell me when a true revival break. Read the true revivals that you can read the accounts of. The bars were shut down. The liquor wouldn't stop flowing. Amen. There was a movement of God.
Yep.
But you know what we've done? When I say we, some of the people of God. They wanted to change their wants and their ways and their word, and they didn't begin to change their worship.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something. Old time worship still works.
Amen.
I said this last of all. Change is not always for the better. The old timers used to say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
God allowed them to change. Their morals changed, and they did. Most of all, their memory changed. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You better be careful what you ask for.
Yeah.
Say, we want to change. Well, by the grace of God, there is some good change. There's some bad change. So, appreciate the opportunity this morning. I do you like my class. You got 2 extra minutes, amen, to fellowship and talk about the people that ain't here. Why don't we do that this morning?
Amen, preacher.
All right, amen.